so we're recording. All right. So this week's parsha is Akev. Akev is an interesting parsha. Now, my phone is ringing. Give me 1 second.
I love this parsha so much.
Yes. We're very fortunate. Each week we have a love letter from Hashem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any event, that was Aaron Moshe. I think he's going to be joining us soon, I hope. Any event, okay. So it says, Vayayakev Tishmo, in the beginning of the first Pasuk, says, if you listen to what Hashem says, so Akev is similar to the word Akev, heel. And so Chazal have a lot of drashas about that. Rashi says, if you listen to the mitzvah, you get the reward. Rashi says, im Akev Tishmon. How does he translate it in the article? Let me just see the translation he says here. One second. One second. He says, this shall be the reward. In other words, it means like Akev Tishmon, in response to listening to the mitzvot, you get this reward, Akev, and because of this. So he says here, this is from Sfas MS, he says there are some mitzvot that are, totally with the person's head, some with his heart. Like the Gemara says, there's Ramach mitzvot to say, there are 248 positive commandments, kinegedei barav shel adam. Because I'll teach us that there are 248 evarim in a person, and corresponding to them, there are 248 positive mitzvot. He says, so some mitzvot correspond to the heels, and those are the mitzvot kalot, the mitzvot that we don't think of as being so important. And the vital mitzvot, we think, are the ones connected with the head and with the heart. So he says, even though the head is more important than the foot, but he says, nevertheless, the whole support for a person is on his feet. That's the whole yisod of a person. So to the mitzvot kalot. In other words, so don't dismiss the mitzvot kalot, because the whole structure stands on the feet. Like Rechman and Son, sometimes people have difficulty walking, and then it's a whole gansura with that. So that's the piece with that. All right, let me do one more piece, and then I'll pause. We'll take some questions and comments. So it says, Vayayakit Shmuon, he says, this is from Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer or Blazer. Says, a person has to know that sometimes even a small action can be machria, his fortune, both in the present and in the future. He says he gives a mashal, it's like a person wants to get to a certain city, and he doesn't have enough money to get there, so he's in Gartner. It's like you get along a railroad, you're in New York, you want to come to Great Neck, you don't have enough for your whole fare to Great Neck, they throw you out at Bayside. So because you lacked whatever, a dollar or whatever, so you're on Bayside, you're not where you want to be in Great Neck. So he says, so too with Inyani Shemaim, so too with things Ruchni, sometimes a small action that a person was derelict and didn't do it, because of that, his masim tovim won't be enough to be machriya him lechav sechus. In other words, there's a scale in Shemayim. So just that, additional mitzvah you would have done could have pushed you over the line. Gee, I see other people aren't here today. I wonder if they're having difficulty getting on. I don't know what to say or do.
I think so.
Yeah, why? But why? Why can't they get on?
Fern doesn't have any power. It's difficult.
Who doesn't have power?
Fern told us yesterday.
But I think she has it back now. No.
A lot of people have power, but they've been on the internet for a while, so they might not have their internet up.
Oh, but Arthur was trying to connect, and he wasn't able to connect, and he's up in the mountains. I wonder why he can't connect.
Well, the mountains have their own situation, don't they?
Yeah. All right, well, I'm happy with who we got, but I wish we could have everybody who wanted to come. All right. Anyway, so any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good?
Yeah. Okay. Easy.
What's up? Anything to comment, or are you good? All right. Let me go in now and let me take a look. Okay.
I will say one thing, Rabbi Eric.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite parshas because A, I love the Shema, right. And also I just feel that the reminder about humility and the reminder about everything, whether it's big or small, is so important. Everything counts, and then the reminder about Rakat Zone and being saved in the land of Israel. I just think it's such a great way to review so many important things. So very excited to have this part.
All right. All right. Let me do another few short things, then we'll go to a little piece from Rav Simon. Okay. So one of the psukim in this week's parsha is Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mima Kim Nirad Hashem Elokecha. Like in, you'd say like in the King James English, you know, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, you know, but to fear God. So he says here, so the Gemara says, Atu Yirat Shemayim Miltes Utarti. The Gemara says, what do you mean, just Yirat Shemayim? Is that such a, is, all right, 1 second, the phone, I think it might be another one of the students. 1 second. Aaron Moshe, he wants me to send him the link. Let me just send him the link now. 1 second. Let me send the link. 1 second. 1 second. Arthur Kirsch. Link. Oh, anyway. Okay. 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. The curse. All right. Okay, we're back. Anyway, I sent it to him. Any event, so it says, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach, what does God ask from you? So the Gemara says, Atu Yirat Shemayim Miltes Utarti, he means just to fear God. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. So the Gemara says, is Yirat Shemayim such a small thing to say, what does Hashem ask of you? So the Gemara says, in Legabi Moshe Miltes Utarti, like the simple shot is, like for Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a simple thing to have Yirat Shemayim. That's what the Gemara says. So there's a piece, and he quotes it here from the Ari, and I know Rav Simon says it's also from the Gra. They ask, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Klal Yisrael. So every rabbi has to know his audience. You know, you have to know who you're speaking to. So what is Hashem asking for you? But just Yirat Shemayim. But that's a big task, not a small task. So the pshat that from here in the name of the Ari, but I think the Gra says the same thing, is that Legabe Moshe means the people who were in the vicinity of Moshe. In other words, if you were near Moshe Rabbeinu and you hung out with him, so then, and you saw his tzidkus, his kedusha, his masim tovim, so for them, Yirat Shemayim was a milta zutar tihi. In other words, if you would hang out with somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu, it would be something very simple. All right, now, 1 second, 1 second. All right, now let me do a piece now from Rav Simon, and then we'll take it. Or let me do one piece from Rabbeinu Bachya, then we'll do a little piece from Rav Simon, then we'll be good. Okay. So in the beginning of the parsha, Cindy, are you still there? By the way.
Oh yes, I'm here.
Okay. So in the beginning of the parsha, again, it says Akev, which is like talks about the person's heel. So Rabbeinu Bachya says, he says that Chazal teach us that. That it's an admonition that you should be careful with the mitzvahs that people usually trample on. And then he says, V'od yichlol, he says, it also includes avona kevayi subeni. He says, like the aveirot of my heels will surround me. Shabbal is here otan mitzvot shuchayal v'psobahen. In other words, the Torah here is admonishing for those mitzvot that you have to use steps for, behem psiot shel mitzvah. In other words, there are some mitzvahs that you have to go here, there, and the other place. Gagon, lelechet obeda kinesi lebeda medrash, to go to the shul, to the base medrash. He says, lebakir at acholim, to visit sick people. Ulabar ametim, to do levaya, escort a dead person. Lechem evelim, to comfort mourners. Kulelu mitzvot shel psiot uscharan gadol. Those are all mitzvahs with psiot, with walking, with steps. And they have a lot of sakhar. Kvar amru zal, shafilu b'shabbat mutar lo l'rutz l'beit ha-knesset. Chazal teach us that even on Shabbos, one's permitted to run to shul. Shenemar acharei Hashem yelchu kar yeishag. B'meinu mekayim mitzvot elu shel psiot, if you do, a person doesn't fulfill those mitzvot of psiot, of stepping, otanavon yisubel yomadin, that avera will like surround him on the yomadin, the day of judgment. Zo avon akiva yisubeni. Then he says, v'chein im posel dvar avera, if a person takes steps for a dvar avera, for a transgression, oto avon yisubel yomadin kmochein. Similarly, that will also surround him yomadin. Like we see in the daughter of Chanina ben Tradyon, that she ended up going, like being taken sort of like as a sex slave. And the Gemara says, he says, because she walks suggestively like before the Gedolei Romi. In other words, everybody like on, you know, their status, you know, so for her, this was a tremendous avera, and she got punished for it. So the Gemara says, and then v'tzdika l'avad adin, and then she accepted God's judgment. So he says, I'm skipping some, but he says, halamadata, sha'adam notel, sha'adam notel sechar psiotav, k'viyadera shu'ulechba, zovaya ekev tishmon, that a person, you know, gets, you know, reward or punishment based on the psiot that he or she takes. So like, where are you going? Like, where are you going during the day? Where are your feet taking you? It's like Rav Simon, he quotes as a medrash that says by David HaMelech, he says that every day I get up and my legs take me to the base medrash. But like, where do you go during the day? And where do you want to go during the day? That's via Ekev Tishmon. Okay. Welcome, Aaron Moshe. I'm glad you made it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, did you want to say something or you're good?
No, I was just going to say that there's a pasuk taka in Tehillim that says he wants to be sitting in Besa, that the only thing he wants is to be sitting
right. In Besa Medrash. Right.
And then he says he wants to be a visitor.
All right. That's true, too.
So then the question is, how could you be a visitor and be every day in either your visitor or your taisha?
Right.
So the answer is that he wants to be a taisha, but every day should be like a new thing, like he's a visitor.
All right, very nice.
Like by Aaron when he was lighting the candle, similar.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, now let me just take a look. There's another piece here from Rav Simon. This piece is, the first pasuk says, Vaya Ekev Tishmon. In return for doing the mitzvah, you get this whole load of reward. That's the first pasuk in Parshas Ekev. But the last pasuk in Parshas Vaschanan says, that you should observe the mitzvot that I can command you today to do. And Chazal teach us, in other words, you do the mitzvot now, but the schar mitzvot is not in this world. You get it in the next world. So that's the steer. The last pasuk says in Vaischanan that you're going to do the mitzvot, but you get the reward in the next world. And this pasuk says you do the mitzvot and you get the reward here. That's the steer. Now, it's a well-known question. The Rambam, and Rav Simon has quoted this, but the Rambam says that the rewards are written in the Torah, like it says, "V'natati gishmechem bitam," the whole Zach. That's talking about if you do mitzvot, Hashem will give you like bounty and prosperity, so you'll be able to do more mitzvot. But the reward for the mitzvot is the next world. That's the way the Rambam learns. But here we'll go. Yeah, what's up?
Rabbi, do we know if some sages have connected the word Ekev to Yaakov, to our forefather Yaakov? Hello?
I mean, we know the word Ekev is connected to Yaakov. You know, I haven't seen the Mefarshim connecting this pasuk to Yaakov, but I don't know. Maybe you'll find something. What's up, Aaron Moshe? What do you got?
I was going to say that in general, the mitzvah of mezuzah on the right side of the doorpost is connected to Yaakov Avinu. They say that that's Pharis, and the left side is the Gvura, and that the whole door thing is Avram Avinu. But they're saying that the mitzvah of that Kriya Shema that's in the mezuzah, the first two Pashiyos, they're saying that Yaakov, that there's seven times Yudke Vufke in the first two Pashiyos of Kriya Shema. And okay. Seven, that's 26 times 7 is 182, which is Gematria Tiyakot.
Okay. All right. But what was with the doorpost you had? The mezuzah corresponds to Yaakov.
Corresponds to Yaakov on the right side. The left side is Gvura, is Yitzchak.
So the left side is not like anything, it's just a doorpost. But that's Yitzchak. And then the lintel is Avram?
The lintel is Avram because of the whole idea of the door of the chesed that he did. But the thing with it says by mezuzah is it's chaser above. When you by Kriyas Shema mezuzah is that's chaser above in mezuzah is, so that they want to tie to, if you unscramble the word chaser above is zaz moves. So tavegishtoysin the moves. Tavegishtoysin meaning that he pushed away death, and we know Yaakov Avinu loy meis.
All right.
So you want to say that that's Yaakov, and then the word there's ten prerequisites to put up a mezuzah, correct? There's 10 prerequisites that are given that to put up a mezuzah. So they want to say that's the yud from Yaakov. The base of Yaakov is the two pashyos, and the ayin and the kuf, which is 170, is exactly equal to the number of words in the two pashyos.
So who says this, Aaron Moshe?
Arizal brings it down in Lakutei Torah.
All right, very nice. Now, all right, let's get back to the parsha. So again, so we have the stira. So he quotes the Levush, who says that you get the reward here, and Levush has his own answer to this, you know, because here we have one pasuk saying basically schar mitzvah b'hayal malekah, which was Chazal teach us that you don't get reward in this world, and the next pasuk says you do. So one. There are a lot of different answers to this, but. I think Rav Simon has said, but here, and he's quoting one, he says that for the mitzvah itself, you don't get reward, but for the hachana for the mitzvah, you do get reward in this world. And for the preparation for the mitzvah, you get rewarded in this world. So he says, he quotes from the Gra, he explains the Medrash. The Medrash says about Avram Avinu at the Akedah, so it says that the binding of Isaac, he's traveling for 3 days. On the third day, he sees the place that he wants, that the Har Moriah, which is the Har Abayit, in the distance. So the Medrash connects this to a pasuk in Hosea. The pasuk in Hosea says, "Yichayenu miyomayim b'yomah shishi kameinu v'nichyeh lefanav," that he will heal us after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up, and we will live before him. So the Gra explains that a mitzvah, the scarf of the mitzvah, you don't have in this world, because a mitzvah is a davar ruchani. A mitzvah is a spiritual thing. And the whole world is not enough to give the sakhar for a mitzvah. It's like a whole different, you know, situation. So Chazal teach us, that 1 hour of pleasantness in the next world is greater than all of this world. He says, So how is it that we get zechuyos from what our forebears do? Like, that's what we keep saying. We want to pull back the zechuyos, right? Like we say, Vakedah Yitzchak Hayom Zoro Barachim Tizkor on Rosh Hashanah, you Hashem should remember the Akedah. So if the schar for mitzvos is in the next world, like the Gra explains, and the mitzvah is Devar Ruchani, so how is it that we ask Hashem, we're still entitled to the flow over from the Avot? So he says that the mitzvah doesn't have teshlumim, but the zrizus, and there's the fact that you acted with alacrity, and the hachanot that you do get. So he says, the Torah tells us all the hachanot zrizus that Avram Avinu did to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Akedah. He got up in the morning, he chavashed el chamuro, he got up early in the morning, he saddled the donkey, he cut the wood, to teach us that from all of that, that's what we get reward in this world. But the Ikar mitzvah that he did, that's by Yom HaShlishi, that's left for Olam Haba. So he's saying that that's what it means, in the Pasuk and Oshenu, Yechayenu miyomayim, which we like, he'll heal us after 2 days, but he's saying that from everything that we have in our lives, in other words, like Yechayenu, the way he's understanding it, like he'll sustain us miyomayim, from the 2 days, Hashem will sustain us. From the preparations that Avram Avinu did in the 2 days, you know, prior to the Akedah, we're cashing in on. But by Yom HaShlishi, what he did on the third day, which is the Ikar Mitzvah Akedah, then it says Yikimenu v'nechiel lefanav. He'll raise us up and we'll have it for him in Olam Haba. Okay, so that's the piece with that. You got it? Everybody good? Okay, I'm going to move on.
So my Zayde, the rupture to the Zerakaydish, he writes, what is Lazarai Hayoim? Why is he saying you're conjuring up a Kedus Yitzchak? And you're asking for Lazarai Hayoim. What does Lazarai Hayoim mean? So he says that the pshat is like this, that you're asking because you're a son of Yitzchak Avinu, but at the same time, you're not on these levels of you got to the Rebbe Shloim has to look at Lazaro Hayyim the way the world is today, and to pay and remember Yitzchak. Because if he looks like if he wants to compare us to Yitzchak Avinu, we're not doing the right thing.
All right. Now, he quotes a piece now from the Satmar Rav, the Divrei Yoel, Rav Yoel Teitelbaum, and he says he's talking about getting sachar for Hachan in this world, and he sees a sort of a paradigm for that in the area of halacha that we can extrapolate from. So he quotes from a Gemara Masechet Bechorot on Daf Chavtet, and it says that you're not allowed to get. He says, and the Mishnah says, "An otel sakar lo dun dina b'talim." If you get paid to judge a case, so your din is batel. He says, "La'id edut b'talim." You get paid to testify, so the edus is disregarded. In secular law, you know, expert witnesses get paid all the time, and they get paid a lot of money. But here he's saying you get paid, it's like a nullity. Then he says, "La'hazod lo kadesh meimav meimarav eferav vepro eferimikla." If you're paid to like sprinkle the water with the Afer Para, with the ashes of the Para Duma, or Lakadish Meimav, to like mix it and sanctify it, so the water is just like water, it's like water and ash, it has nothing to it. So he asks, the Gemara says, this is Stira, and it sounds like a Brisa, it says, Amakadish Meichatar Be'efer Chatar Rezum Kudeshet, Afapishu Yisrael. If a man takes like the water mixed with the ashes of the paraduma, and he says to a woman, "Harei mikudeshet li," with this mixture, so she's mikudeshet, and even though he's not a kohen, he's not even the one that's shayach to it. So here we're saying, like, you're not allowed to, you know, pay money for it, anything like that. So how can I be mikadesh nisha with it? So the Gemara ends up saying that I could charge for the transportation. In other words, that I, like, you're in Tveria, so I'm bringing the Afer Para from Yerushalayim, that I could charge you for. I could charge for bringing the water, because it has to be the Mayim Chayim, the spring water. So I could charge, you know, the long distance with that. So it's a similar idea, where you can't charge for the Etzem Mitzvah, but you're allowed to charge for, like, a type of Hachana. All right, now, then he talks, so he, then he brings down from the Sefer Ma'orei Na'im in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Ma'orei Na'im is Rav Nachum
Shenobel.
Yeah, he's the forebear of Dr. Bert Cohen and Rabbi Dr. Lieber.
I'm also a cousin.
You're also a cousin. Okay, you're also a Mishpacha. So he says that, again, the same idea, that this whole world is not enough for the Sechar, the Mitzvah. He says, because it's Mayain Sofer, it's too great. And this world is a finite world. And the mitzvah is like infinite. It's like, he says, Bahai Mayain Sof Baruchu. He says, Ki ain't kol only a chol kabel or a sachar shal mitzvah v'dibur hagun. He says, Ki, who Mayain Sof Baruchu? Mayain Sof is like, Hashem is like limitless. Like he can't be contained. And the scarf of the mitzvah is like a piece from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Wait a minute. This world is finite. So he says the Hakana for the mitzvah is a tafel for the mitzvah that you can get in this world, because that's a limited sachar, and that's shayach to give in this world as well. All right, what did you want to say, Aaron Moshe?
No, I was going to say that Rav Pam used to talk about this all the time, because he used to say, you can't understand what it means to be Nehenna Beziv Hashchena. What does it mean to be up in the heaven and be Nehenna Beziv Hashchena? But at the same token, we see Rabbeinu HaKadosh, whose place in heaven we can't even imagine, decided to come down and make Kiddush here. So what does that mean? Why did he come down and make Kiddush? So they also say that one hour of doing mitzvahs here is not compared to, you know, you say it the other way around too.
So what did Rav Ham say? I'm losing it. So why did Rebbe come down here to make Kiddush?
He says because the idea of doing mitzvahs is so great, it means that the Rebbeinu Shloim, when you're in the Henem Ziv Hashchina, you're like a child by your father. But yeah, your father likes when you do mitzvahs, when you do things. So when he comes down and he does the mitzvah, that's on even a higher level, because he's not just sitting by the shulchan of his father.
Yeah, the only thing is, though, the Gemara learns it was after Rebbe was dead that he came back and said Kiddush.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but when you're dead, like, you're chafshi min ha-mitzvot, you're not chayim mitzvot. So
yes,
how is it?
That's, so there's a question. That's the question when he made the bracha, and he was incorporating other people sitting there. How did he do that?
Right.
But apparently, in this case, it was waived.
All right. Let me go on. Now, he says here, so he quotes the Mishnah Masechet Pirkei Avot. It says, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Olam Hazeh Domer LePros Dor B'Fnei Olam Haba. This world is like a pros door. A pros door is like a hallway, a vestibule, an anteroom, in leading into the Olam Haba. I cannot smell up a pros door. Listen, I have to start muting people. I hear a little noise coming in. Let me just mute. I'm sorry. I'm going to mute everybody, and then I'll pause periodically. Okay. All right. Everybody's muted now. So you should prepare yourself in the pros door so you enter the traklin, the banquet hall. So he quotes from the Chafetz Chaim, who says that the Derech HaOlam is when a person wants to do something important, he prepares himself a number of hours, and for a king, a number of weeks. In other words, like, let's say you have an audience with a king. We're kind of removed from us. We don't have too many kings around today. But let's say you would have a king, and you have an audience with the king. So you prepare weeks ahead of time. You get the clothes all lined up, get everything straightened out. And he says, here, Now the Derech of people has to live for 70 and sometimes 80 years. And the Tana says that during all those years that he's only the prosdor, that's this world, he should be metaking himself for the Traklin. In other words, this world is like a prosdor. So you have to be metaking yourself in the prosdor before you enter the Traklin. So then the Chafetz Chaim adds, and this is in the Sefer Shem Olam, Chelek Beis Perek Dalid, he says that Derech Mashal, if you look, he says, in this world, we don't do properly. Derech HaOlam, when a person, let's say he purchases a piece of property to build a traklin, he wants to build a mansion on it, so he calls an uman, like an architect, to guide him how he should, you know, lay out the rooms and so forth, and, you know, which point should where the boundaries for the banquet hall, where the banquet is for the pros door, the hallway. So he says, in a case, the person said to him, he says, I hear you're a tremendous architect. I want you to guide me how to build it, because I want my traklin to be beautiful, and I also want my prose door to be beautiful. So the architect looked carefully at the piece of property, and he said, I looked at it very carefully, and he says, like, it's a little short. You can't do quite everything. He says, so what my advice is that that, in other words, there's like a give and take between the traklin and the prose door. So he says, so my etza is that you should build first the traklin, a beautiful traklin, and then you'll build the prose door on the little piece of property that's left, and you'll have to get along with like a smaller prose door. In other words, it's not enough to have a big traklin and a big prose door, so the traklin is the main thing, and the prose door will be the tafel. That's the way to do it. So that's the mashal. So the nimshal is, in this world, we're building the traklin for our souls. And every day, it's a little bit like similar to Daf Yomi. We've been doing the Daf Yomi. Aaron Moshe, I don't think you were at the Daf Yomi with us last night, were you? But I'm sure you did it, right? So so in the Daf Yomi, we're talking about, you know, people passing away and getting straightened out for the next world. So Chazal teaches, V'chol ba'anayach limudei Hashem, al-tukar ba'anayach lebo'anayach. So the Medrash brings down, Banta Beitu Zua Torah Lamencha, that if a person is Kona Divrei Torah, he's Kona Bayit Leolam Haba. In other words, it says, this is Chachman Isha Banta Beita, the wisdom of a woman builds a house. So the Medrash says that's talking about the Torah. In other words, the Isha there is the Torah. So the Torah is like, with the Torah, you're building the house. That if you're Kona Divrei Torah, you're Kona Bayit Leolam Haba. And if a person who hasn't acquired the Torah, he didn't acquire Lolam Haba. So he says, it comes out, he says that if you look at all our deeds in this world, we're all so busy building the prose door. We're spending all the time building the prose door, building like the hallway. In other words, you know, like he's saying, like you build a beautiful home, and this, that, and then the lawn should be nice, the lawn furniture should be good, the furniture in the house should be good, and the house should be painted, the whole thing, everything should look wonderful. That's all prosdor. So he says, So that's to prepare something nice for our bodies. And we also have nice clothes and food for us, and not just what's the necessity. Because so it comes out that there's only a little bit left for the trachlin, and that's not even bikvius. We just do a little bit here and there when we're focusing on the trachlin. So the idea is that he wants to say that this whole world is a world of hachana, and therefore it's shayach to get in the olam hazeh, the sechar, the shayach for hachana, the mitzvot, the shayach for the etzem mitzvah, that you get in the next world. But the idea is you want to work more on the prose door, less on the trachlin, or more on the trachlin, less on the prose door. Okay, whose questions comes to us, anything I said? You're good, Livia? Cindy, you're good? Our Moshe, you're good? All right, I'm going to move on. Now he quotes here the Rabbeinu Bachya, which we did at the beginning of the class, so I'm not going to repeat Rabbeinu Bachya. He says... Yeah, he says, like, he wants to say, like Rabbeinu Bach is saying, when you walk to mitzvah, that's what you're going to get rewarded from, and unfortunately, conversely, punished for if you're walking to Aveirot. So he says that that's similar. He wants to say that the halicha for Torah and Tefillah, that's begetter hachana la mitzvah. In other words, if I'm walking somewhere, that's also a type of hachana for a mitzvah. So that four fits in together. All right, now, then he adds on. He quotes from the Gemara Masechet Sotah on Daf Chaf Beit. It says Rabbi Yochanan. He says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lamanu yirat chait mi betula bekibul sakar mi almana v'chulei." We learn yirat chait from an incident with the betula, and with the reward from an almana. And the incident with the almana is al yalmana da'bay bekinishdish b'shavute. There was an almana, a widow, who had a shul in her neighborhood. But every day she would travel to the basement of Rabbi Yochanan to pray over there. Amar labiti lo beit haknesset b'shavute. So he said, my daughter, isn't there, don't you have a closer shul to where you live? So Amar alei, Rebbe, below schar psiot yeshli, don't I get schar psiot, the schar, for going to the further place? So he quotes from Dibra Yoel. He likes the Satmar Rav, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum. So he explains at great length that a person, and this will be good, Aaron Moshe, I expect a full commentary on this from you in a few minutes, okay? So the Divrei Yol says that a person comes to this world to be mali tikunim and tafkidim, they're shayach l'shorish nishmato, meaning there's certain tasks that have been designated like to perform in this world that everybody has on them. And sometimes a person has to go to a certain place to fulfill his or her shlichus. And he says, and so too that almana had to daven dafka in that shul that was far away from her house, because there was where she had to fill her shlichus. And the halicha to that place is considered schar psiot, that she gets even schar in this world. Okay, the adkan. Now, then he brings down an explanation in the name of his grandfather, the Yitav Lev. That's the Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum's grandfather. He says that we make the bracha hamechin mitzadei gaver. We make a bracha every morning, hamechin mitzadei gaver, one who prepares the steps for man. So the simple pshat based on the Gemara is like when you get up in the morning. So the Gemara describes each thing, you know, like you stand straight, you know, so kev kefufim, and then you put on your shoes, you shas alikot sarki, and you step, hamechin mitzadei gaver. But he learns here, why do we make a bracha just for the steps of a person, not from the fact that he's sitting peacefully in his house and so forth? So he explains, based on the Baal Shem Tov, who says, may Hashem mitzadei gaver konanu v'darko yechpatz. There's a pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Lamed Zayin. It says, from Hashem are the steps of a person prepared, v'darko yechpatz. He desires his derech, his pathway. That means all the steps of a person have already been set up from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he has to be in that location to be metakein the nitzotzot that are shayach l'shorish nishmato. There are all these nitzotzot, these sparks of Kedusha spread all over the world, and the person has to pick up that nitzotz and do a mitzvah with it. So he says, but the person himself, from his perspective, darko yechpatz. In other words, the person thinks, I just want to go to the Adirondacks. That's why I'm going. But the MS is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has like decided that this is where he needs to go because there's some mission that he has to fulfill on that trip. And he says, and that's why we make the bracha. Mechin Mesed Gaver, we praise Hashem that he takes us to those makomot where all these nitzotzot are, that are shayach the shorish nishmatein. In other words, the nitzotzot are shayach to our neshama, that we have to do a mitzvah with those nitzotzot, and to be mitaking them, to be ma'ala them. So Aaron Moshe is going to explain about nitzotzot in a minute. But let me just do this piece, and then we'll hear from Aaron Moshe. So he says, according to this, we can understand the ma'ala they have with mitzvot that have halicha involved. In other words, like we just said, like you go to a mitzvah, like you get rewarded for the halicha. The halicha is the hachana. And we said, Ekev, the halicha, you go in here, you go in the other place. So he's saying that you could see like the significance of a mitzvah, we have to do halicha because he says that we're only in this world as a hachana for Olam Haba. And Hashem prepares our steps that's where we fulfill our shlichus. And even though we don't understand what's doing and what's going on, everybody has a tafkid in this world, and everybody has to fulfill his or her shlichus. And this we should remember always, that this whole world is just a chanalom haba. Okay, let me hear from Aaron Moshe about nitzotzot. What do you got for me, Aaron Moshe?
On the nitzotzot HaKadoshim, some want to say, I mean, this is all Hasidic thought. He brings a lot from, like you say, from the Devayor, from Baal Shem Tov, from the Eighth of Leib, from the Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe was the father of the Eighth of Leib. It was very funny that the Yismach Moshe was the originator of Hasidus, and he was a Mishnagin himself, originally.
All right. But let's hear about Nitzotzot. What can
you do? But in the Tzaytos HaKadoshim, they want to say that a lot of this has to do with the breaking of the Luchos.
Oh.
Because the Luchos had all these nitzotzot that went all over the world.
Yeah. I tell Aaron Moshe, what I've seen is when Adam Rishon sinned. It was like when the world was created.
Yes.
Then they had Shvirat HaKelim. There was like HaKelim and all these nitzotzot spread all over the world.
Right. It goes back to Adam Rishon. And the Baal Shem Tov has a tremendous amount of writings on the Tzoytzoy Sakadoshim and about people having to be where they have to be and the steps, the achana of a mitzvah. And they always used to say, watch a Rebbe, when you watch this Rebbe or that Rebbe, don't watch him just light the menorah. Watch the achana for lighting the menorah, because the achana is more than the lighting of the menorah itself.
All right. So the nitzotzot represent, I think, mitzvot that have to be done in this world, like kedusha, and in all the places that you go, you have these nitzotzot. They have to be mala, like to raise the
sparks.
Them up.
Sparks. Yeah. Kedusha.
Yeah. I don't understand it fully, but that's the best we got. Okay. Let's go further. Now, now he connects this to the nitziv and the she'iltot. It's I think a famous she'ilta. It's this is one I first heard from Rabbi Yonason Sachs, but. It's when he talks about the mitzvah of building a sukkah, the Nesiv says that there are some mitzvahs in the Torah where the hachana for the mitzvah is also written in the Torah. And there are some mitzvahs which says just do the mitzvah and then you're on your own with it. So example where the hachana is written, let's say by Shabbos, it says, Vayaba yama shishi ve'chinu et asher yaviu, that on Friday you'll prepare what you did. And by Sukkot, it says, Chag HaSukkot Ta'aseh Lecha Shabbat Yamim. So Chazal teach us that that's referring to like building the Sukkah, Ta'aseh. In other words, that Pasuk means Chag HaSukkot Ta'aseh Lecha, that you should build the Sukkah. So the Netziv says that we can divide the mitzvahs into two groups. Mitzvahs whose Hachana is written in the Torah, and mitzvahs whose Hachana is not written in the Torah. So the mitzvahs that the Hachana is written in the Torah, there he holds that's a mitzvah bo yoter mibshlucho. In other words, so when it comes to, let's say, preparations for Shabbos, so I should participate in the preparations. When it comes to building the sukkah, so I should, in other words, first it's better to have a Jew build a sukkah as opposed to a goy build a sukkah, but if I can be involved with building my sukkah, that's better as well. And then he says by matzah also, by the mitzvah matzah, the baking of the matzahs, I don't know what pasuk it is. Let me see if he quotes the pasuk here. By matzah also is a mitzvah for me. Let me see what else he has here. Which does he quote? Let me see. Does he quote here? He mentioned Shabbos and Sukkah. But anyway, and he says, right. He's like buying tefillin and making a shofar, the hacham is not written in the Torah. But sometimes it is, he says, like Shabbos and Sukkah. But by matzah also, or he says, yeah, by matzah also. So I don't remember what the pasuk is by matzah, but there's a din. So if you could be involved with baking the matzahs.
Yeah, if you're involved with baking the matzahs before.
Yeah, okay. So now, so he says that when the hachara for the mitzvah is written in the Torah, this shows the importance of the chashivas of the hachara for the mitzvah, and that's considered itself a mitzvah. And so we say mitzvah yoter b'shlucho. So now here Rav Simon wants to add on that we could say, why dafka these mitzvahs? Like he quotes Shabbos and Sukkah. See, he left out some of them. Like he doesn't mention matzah here, but Shabbos. Yeah. Okay, one Aaron Moshe, just 1 minute. Let me go back. I got to mute you. I'm sorry. All right, let me just 1 second. Let me just mute again. Okay. All right. So the so he mentions that Shabbos is symbolizes the Olam Haba, like we say in the Zmirot, Me'ein Olam Haba Yom Shabbat Menucha. Shabbos is like the paradigm of Olam Haba, like you get a taste of Olam Haba with Shabbos. I think Chazal teach us that, Shabbos is 1/60th of Olam Haba. And he says also, the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah says, Misha Tabarach Be'erev Shabbat Yuchal B'Shabbat. If a person is Torech on Erev Shabbos, he eats on Shabbos, but it means that if I'm Torech in this world, I get the reward in the next world. But we see that this comparison of Shabbos to Olam Haba. And similarly, the mitzvah Sukkah is leaving your Diras Keva, your permanent abode, to Diras Arai, to a temporary abode. And that's the aspect of a prosdor. In other words, Sukkah also reminds us of Olam Haba, because Sukkah is reminding me that the Sukkah is like this world. This is this world. And of course, from the Al Sheikh says the 7 days of Sukkah represent a person's life, 70 years. So this is the world, but it's here today, gone tomorrow, and then you're in Olam Haba. So then he says, so we can understand, it says, these mitzvahs, since they teach us about hachan in this world for Olam Haba, in other words, preparing for Sukkah, preparing for Shabbos, is instilling with us the idea of preparing for Olam Haba. It was, if I'm preparing for Shabbos, Shabbos represents Olam Haba. I'm preparing for Sukkah, Sukkah represents like the theme of Olam Haba. So that's like a type of hachana, which is for, like in this world, the next world. So it's understandable that hachana has special significance. Okay, what do you want to say, Aaron Moshe? Aaron Moshe?
What I was going to say was, I was just unmuting myself. What I was going to say was that by the Zerah Kodesh, my great-great-grandfather, he said his tafkid was Sukkis. So to Sukkah. So he did 365 days a year. He did something for the Sukkah each and every day. What he did, I don't know, that he did 365 different things for the Sukkah each and every day. But each person apparently has a tafkid of this world that he's connected to. We don't know, or we're not on that level to know what the tafkid is. But that's why, what was the Ahava to have flags in the Midbar? Why did the Eden want to have flags in the Midbar? They wanted to have flags because they saw hundreds and hundreds of thousands of malachim carrying flags. Each flag had the tafkid of that malach. That by my mother's Hasinai, each flag of the angels had the tafkid of that angel. But so they wanted that. So that was the ahava to have flags. But the flags that we have, we were just for the Shvatim, and and more or less like that. But it doesn't tell us of individual tafkid, what the person has to do, has to accomplish.
Yeah, it would be helpful if we would know what the tafkid is. But
obviously.
I think I've seen where they say that if you feel like a certain pull towards a certain mitzvah, that's a siman that's like your tafkid. Like in other words, if you feel like this mitzvah, like I feel like this, like attraction to this mitzvah. All right. Now with this, he wants to explain, we can understand the aspect of Simchat Beit HaShoeva on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. the Ikar Simcha is a Hakana for the mitzvah. So he quotes from the Sefer Motzei Shalal Rav in the name of the Chidush Erim, which is the first Ger Rebbe. He says that why do we call it Simchat Beit HaShoeva? Now Simchat Beit HaShoeva, they would draw water and then they would pour it on the Mizbeach. So the mitzvah is Nisach HaMayim. So they didn't call it Simchat Nisach HaMayim, which is really what the Simcha is. They called it Simchat Beit HaShoeva, the drawing of the water, so which is the Hakana of the mitzvah. So he says that it's brought down that Hakana is greater even than the mitzvah itself. So he says, the greater simcha was for the Shiva Ramayim, which is the Hakanim, rather than the Gufa Mitzvah. So he says that it's very apropos for Sukkot. Sukkot itself represents a type of a Hakana, like we mentioned the Al Shech, where he mentioned 70 years of a person's life, that to remind ourselves the whole Tachlis of this world is just be for a Hakana for the Olam Haba. So like Simchas, like on Sukkot, where you're trying to remember, my whole purpose in this world is Hakana, so here I have a mitzvah, and the name of the mitzvah is Simchat Beit HaShoeva, like the preparation, everything the preparation. All right, then he quotes again from the Sefer Shalal Rav, he quotes from another Sefer, Brechot HaMayan, to be Miyashev, there's a statement of Reish Lakish, it says, Kefelach HaRimon Rakateich. Did you want to say something? Yeah, what's up, Livia? Livia, did you want to say something?
Yes, Rabbi, in connection to what you said about Achana, that's why I really love the way we say Erev Shabbat in Aramaic. We say Ma'ale Shabbat.
Right.
And I feel that it's a nice way because it teaches you that you have to slowly with the achanot that we do on Shabbat, it helps to gradually get up, psych yourself up to Shabbat.
All right.
Ma'ale Shabbat. I think that it's a all nice right. Expression.
All right. All right. Now, so he quotes from Reish Lakish. It says, Kefelach HaRimon Rakateich. That even the empty ones among the Jewish people are filled with mitzvot, like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. So lechora, we can ask, if they're filled with mitzvot like a rimon, why are they called reikanim? In other words, like even the empty ones are filled with mitzvot like a rimon. So rimon, I don't know how many seeds are in there, but there's a lot. So if the reikanim are filled with that, why are they called reikanim? They're not reikanim, they're filled with it. So the kavana is the rimon, it's all chashivas is in the inside where the food is. But the outside, which is the klip of the peel, has no chashivas, and you throw it in the garbage. He says, like the Gemara says, Remeir Rimon Matzah, Tocho Achal Klipatozarak. He says that Remeir, they said, how could Remeir learn from Acher, from Elisha ben Avuya, who was a great Tana, but he went off the Derech. So the Gemara says, Remeir found like a Rimon, like a pomegranate. He threw away the peel and took like the fruity part. So too, he says, the mitzvot of the Reikanim are like a rimon. The Ikar mitzvot they do, in other words, the mitzvah itself they do, but that which is around the mitzvot, which is the hakana for the mitzvah, and the simcha afterwards, he says, that's like, they consider it like a klipa. They consider that like just a peel. So he says, therefore, they're called Reikanim, because the mitzvah that doesn't have hakana before it and simcha afterwards is devoid of all hislavas and ruach, it's devoid of all enthusiasm and spirit, and that mitzvah is itself reikanet, an empty mitzvah. It's nice little things to remember. So it comes out from everything that the hakana for mitzvah changes the whole erech mitzvah to a different mitzvah, and the hakana you do in this world changes our chelik and olam haba totally. And then he quotes here from the Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, he says, there's no Kedusha without Hachana. And he says, and many Jews know from Shabbos, but they don't know from Erev Shabbos. Like, you know, like what it means, you know, Rabbi Slonicki quoted this a number of weeks ago, but the, in other words, there's like the Rambam says, like on Friday, like you get dressed and you like wait for Shabbos to arrive. You know, so here in America, a lot of people are just, you know, rushing in. Here's the wallet. Here's my jacket. Good. I'm going to watch the shul and I'm get to shul. It's late, you know, like that. But there's an idea of like, you know, I remember seeing a photograph of Pamela Harriman, and she's passed away. She was Pamela Churchill Harriman. So she became an American, and she was a supporter of Bill Clinton. And he later on appointed her to be the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to France. So I saw a photograph of her, and I think it was a photograph of her, like she was hosting the Clintons after I think they had been elected and before the inauguration. And she comes out of the house, and you see like she's so like eager to welcome them in. And that's the way, at least that's the way the photograph seemed to me. But that's the way like a person has to be with Shabbos and with Mrs. generally. Okay, let's just summarize again what we did, and then we'll just do a few more minutes and that'll be it. So we hooked into this. We said that there's a steer between last week's parsha and this week's parsha. Last week's parsha says you don't get reward for the mitzvahs in this world, and this parsha says you do get the reward. So I mentioned the Rambam says, and Rabbi Simon has quoted this, that you get the reward to do more mitzvot, but the way the derech he was taking here is you get reward for hachana for mitzvot. And so the last week's parsha is talking about the mitzvahs themselves. This week's parsha is talking about the hachana for the mitzvot. Then that led him, he quoted from about the Akedah, how do we pray to Hashem that we should get all the reward from the Avot? So we're getting it from the preparation, like Avram Avinu, his rizus to do the Akedah. That's what we get rewarded for. Then we had from the Satmar Rav in the Divrei Yoel says you see like a model of that by the Efer Para. In other words, I can't charge for the Efer Para, but I could charge for the Hachana, you know, transporting it. And then why is it that we get reward for the Hachana in this world? So he says that you know, a mitzvah itself, it's Dava Ruchni, and the whole world can't contain it. But the Hachana for the mitzvah, that you could get in this world. Then we quoted that whole mashal from the Chafetz Chaim, Hadkenat Tzchaba Frozdor, Kedesh Tikkenes Letraklin. Prepare yourself in the Frozdor, in like the corridor, the antechamber, so you enter the main banquet hall. So you have to allocate resources. So he says, well, I'm building a mansion and there's not enough, you know, ground for the everything. I have to give priority to the traklin, to the banquet hall, and less priority to the antechamber. And he says, the Chafetz Chaim says, so the same thing in this world. Like he says, people are doing the opposite. Like they take care of themselves, they build big houses, they got nice clothes, nice food. But in terms of their efforts for the Olam Haba, that they're not so great on. You know, Aram Moshe, you mentioned Rapam. I know Rapam said once, or I think I read this, he says like he was talking about a person going to Clay Kodesh and he wouldn't make so much money. He says, so he'll paint the house, you know, once every 7 years as opposed to, you know, like every other year or something like that. In other words, he won't paint the house as often. And then we mentioned that the Rabbeinu Bachya says that it refers to psiot, the steps that a person takes. And so he wants to say that that the steps you're taking is also a type of hachana for mitzvot usually. So that makes sense that you get a reward for that. And then he talked about the ma'ala mitzvot that have psiot, ha-mechin mitzvot gaver from the Baal Shem Tov, that Hashem, like, why do we make a bracha, mechin mitzvot gaver? Why don't we make a bracha, you know, mechin moshav shel adam? So the Baal Shem Tov said that Hashem prepares the steps where a person will go in life, and he has missions to perform there, and it's also like a significance with the steps that he goes on. And he says that, you know, like through the mitzvahs that have halicha, we can remind ourselves that our whole existence in this world is just a hachana for Olam Haba. And then we mentioned about from the Shiltot, from the Nesiv, about sometimes the hachana is written in the Torah, and that has, you know, added significance. It's a mitzvah for you to do it rather than your shliach. And then he said that among the mitzvahs where that is true is Shabbos and Sukkah, and Shabbos and Sukkah symbolize Olam Haba. Shabbos represents Olam Haba. Sukkah to remind you of Olam Haba, and it makes sense that the those in particular, he says, the Hachana has greater significance. And then in Simcha Beit HaShoeva, he says that the name of the mitzvah is after the Hachana, and Sukkah represents Hachana. And then we said about Reikanim Shebachamalei Mitzvahs Karimon. This is from the Sefer Shalom Rav, we said that if they're filled with mitzvahs like a rimon, why are they rekanim? So they're rekanim because they treat like the hachana and the simcha like the peel. In other words, that they zorek. They just do the ikar mitzvah, but they don't do the hachana for the mitzvah, and they don't do the simcha after the mitzvah. It sounds very Hasidic, which is what it is, I guess. And then we mentioned from the Rav, who says, like, you know, there's no kedusha without hakana. And that's what, again, all the mitzvahs, that's the Bali Musar say, like, in other words, all mitzvahs are really talui with the hakana. Let's see, one second, let's see a Pesach. So Pesach, you know, yeah, I could walk in the door and, you know, it's the Leil Seder. Oh, okay, now I have Pesach. What do? I take out a box of matzahs, whatever. Everything is the hakana. I have to clean the house weeks ahead of time. I got to get all the food ready. I got to prepare the Divrei Torah for this for the Seder. And similarly, by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're coming now to Yemei Adin. So everything is the hakana. In other words, if I just walk into shul, I put on my white yarmulke, I take my machzor, and I'm good to go. I say the tefillah, but there's a tremendous hakana that's required. Okay, what do you got for me, Aaron Moshe?
I was going to say it would be good this year if you can walk into shul with your white yarmulke and the machzor. I don't know if I'm going to walk.
Here in Great Neck, we don't even know if we have shul the Shabbos because they don't have electricity in the shul, and the air was also down.
Hopefully, they're working on a part generator today, I heard.
Oh, who's working on a generator? The shul?
There's a part of a generator working in the shul.
Right, that's true, but it's not enough for the air conditioning.
Not enough for everything, right? But what I was going to say is that Rav Pam used to talk about every Shabbos. If you say when you go shopping, especially the women go shopping to the supermarket, they say Thursday or Wednesday even, that this I'm buying L'kuvah Shabbos Kodesh, it brings the Kedusha into the food itself. The food itself has already an aliyah to be more Kodesh. And he used to say the same. That's why he gave Shmuzen for about 30 years. Why did he give these Shmuzen? So that people that were learning Gemara, they used to come home and say over the Gemara Bantish. Now, the parents might have been Holocaust survivors or something like that, and they didn't have an opportunity to learn. So that Torah is lost at the table. But if they come over and they say something that's pertinent to the Sedra, and it's understood by the people sitting there, it brings a whole different kedusha into the meal. It's not just we're eating a meal. We're having a big meal. We're having a family gathering. The Torah brings a kedusha into the whole of Suda.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to end it with one story, and that'll be it. He quotes it here from Yud Yafet, but this is I've seen quoted elsewhere also. It's with Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi. So one of his talmidim came to him, and so the Rav said to him, you know, Vos machstu? So he says, I'm doing fine. My business is good. Then after a couple of minutes, he says to him, you know, what's Mastu? He says, this is Rebbe.
Yeah.
On the business, he gets the same thing again. Then a couple of minutes later, he asks him the same thing. So the Talmud thinks the Rebbe is over batel. He doesn't know, whatever, doesn't remember what I just said or whatever.
So he says,
this is Rebbe, you know, I just told you several times what's doing. He says, no, you didn't understand. He says, that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing. He's got a little different here. He says, how your business is doing and everything else, that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu did. But Vos machstu, what are you doing in terms of like your Torah, your mitzvah? That's what I'm asking. Anyway, so the idea is like here he's saying, he connects it here to he says, what does Rosh Hashem require? The Yirat Hashem Elokecha, to fear God. So the way he has it here, in other words, everything is Bidei Shemayim, except from Yirat Shemayim. So I'm asking you, you know, how's your Yirat Shemayim going? All right, my phone is ringing, so I hope you'll excuse me. I tell you, I'm just going to take it off the recording now. Let me take it off the recording.